Derby Delight, Special K, a Caceres Masterclass, Lolly Brilliance, Scum Send Packing, all in all, a brilliant game, a game that will live long in the memory of every single Sky Blue fan. Tonight, I'm Sean Maloney. I'm looking after the podcast, and Jonathan's absent in the hosting chair, along with two very prestigious hosts in the one and only Michelle Morris and Asoph, all sides of the harbour, Jamie Duncan. Welcome, Michelle. Welcome, Jamie.
Gracias.
Welcome. Yeah, thanks for having me on back on.
Yeah, it's been a while, Jamie, but you know, you've got your radio credentials now under your belt, so
I've seen done.
Maybe I could throw in you will need a note when I finish off this podcast. maybe not. That's a very old AM reference for anyone listening. Look, a lot to talk about tonight. Huge game of the weekend for the girls. Michelle's chomping at the bit to finally go watch them after what, 2-3 weeks
without been about 2 weeks.
Yeah, without a football game with the girls. The boys head on the road to MacArthur. The final season is nigh with 2 rounds to go. A little chat about the NPL boys, but before we get into the chat and around the grounds or whatnot, Jamie, Michelle, just give me and give the listeners at home your impressions following Saturday night's game. Jamie, we'll go age before beauty. So, Jamie, go first.
It was really incredible. It was probably the highlight of being back at Allianz. I don't think we'll see anything quite like that for a little while. But I had a smile on my face the next 3 days. I was in excruciating pain the day after, but it was completely worth it. It's probably one of the most special moments I've had supporting Sydney. It was just incredible.
First derby win at Allianz, and what a way to do it. Michelle, the view from the Cove.
Unreal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Disbelief? No, not disbelief. I knew we were going to win that game, but like, when it actually happens, it's like, whoa, it happened. I have bruises on my legs as well, from the limbs. So that's how you know it's been a good night.
Oh, look, I was dejected when Sapsford equalised. I thought, who else? You know, he did do it back in the first game earlier in the season. But it's the stuff.
Did he score on the other one?
Yes. That's right, Jamie.
I just did own goal. I think it went down as an own goal from memory, and I will always call it an own goal because I like to think we scored all 5 goals in that match.
But I couldn't believe it that I saw people leaving early. Was it just me? I don't know. You may not. No, of course, you necessarily wouldn't see it in the Cove. But Jamie, did you see people around you leave early as well, or is it just me and where John and I sit?
Yeah, so I was in Cove Heights and there's a group of kids, probably like 16, 17, just like the row or two in front of me. And one of them left at 78 minutes, which I think is hilarious because not only did he miss, you know, one goal, he missed 2 goals.
Yeah.
On a rugby league match.
Yeah, big match. I saw a couple of people sort of further over towards sort of the posh side of Allianz leaving early as well. But unless you're small kids, I don't really know if there's an excuse. I feel bad for them. Very bad for people who left early. I think they've really missed out on probably one of the best matches of the season. It's probably the best match Sydney have been involved in for a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, I only excuse maybe they've got little children being dragged away, but then again, a little bit of corporal punishment never hurt anybody. And you tell them to sit back in their chair and watch the game, or they're not particularly kind of football purists and understanding that, you know, what can happen in that in the last 5 minutes of the game and so on. But look, we stayed, we loved it. It was brilliant. Talay ball really working beautifully now. Nice momentum leading into finals, albeit with 2 more games to go. But with all that being said, let's go around the grounds, kicking off with, we do know now, Michelle, were you happy with Central Coast Mariners? Would you have rather? Yeah. So
yeah,
we've
definitely.
Over the 2 legs this Saturday. Oh, no, sorry, Sunday. And then the following Saturday, the second leg. Quick, Michelle, you preferred the Mariners? And are you fussed with us being the first or the second leg home game? Would that matter? Does it make a difference, Jamie?
No, I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
No, I think it's actually kind of good for the girls, I think, to have the second leg at home, because I think if we were to make the final, which is, a big ask still, it would mean the girls have a bit of a send off at Leichhardt before they go away again. I think if you had 2 weeks consecutive of away travel, assuming City win, it'd probably be a bit quite alienating. They probably wouldn't really feel the same routine.
Well, that's a good point. But you were happy with that it was Central Coast. You're happy that Western United got kicked out.
Definitely. I think West United will probably one of the teams. They've been very unlucky with injuries, but I'd still rather not play them just because they've still got quite a lot of experienced players. I think Mariners and Jets are both good wild card sides. You don't really know what you're going to get from them. I'd definitely prefer that over Victory as well. Anything but Victory would be is a win.
I think that for me, Western United, if we got Western United, we would beat Western United. I think they've got no Chloe Legazzo, they've got no Hannah Keane, and they've got no Adriana Taranto, and they also don't have Hillary Beale. So they've lost four players, key players to that side. So it wasn't really much of an issue. Victory, obviously, we don't want to verse Victory at all. It's just very frustrating, and it seems that the mental game plays into it a lot more than the actual football. So I think that is a good thing that the Mariners have won. Unfortunately, Mariners play like the most anti-football style of football when they play us. And to be fair, for most of the season, they've been like that. So it'll be very difficult, but we can talk about that later when we get into the preview of it. But yeah, definitely happy to have Mariners as it is a much closer and cheaper away day than going to Melbourne.
That's more of $500, I think I saw. You've got in your
R
pocket.
roughly, roughly 500. Yeah,
How's he
I was
live?
just kind of, huh? Because he lives, yeah.
Look, on more news to do with women's football, Courtney had 30 minutes on the field with the Tillies against Mexico, so she's back in the squad after being out recently. I didn't see any of the game, admittedly, other than highlights. Jamie, were you did she play particularly well? The girls had quite a seemed like quite a comfortable win, 2-0 over Mexico.
I think because I had on the background whilst working, as I think a lot of people did, I wouldn't say there's anything particularly astonishing. Tilda did play quite well the second half. I think Courtney is one of those players where she's sort of a flat track bully in the dub, so I wouldn't be too concerned about her form leading in. I think she's also gotten a lot better at performing in the big matches. Like I think in her first season with us, she probably went missing few too many times when it came to the crunch game. But I think now she's got a lot more experience to do it. So I think she's set up pretty well for the final series. And if she's not injured, then we've always got a chance, I think.
And speaking of some more national duty, our very own number one left back, Jordan Courtney Perkins, started at CB, started at centre back for the Oly Roos in their draw. A little bit of a disappointing draw against Jordan, probably a game they could have, should have snuck home and won. Jake was an unused sub. So a little bit more news. What else have I got on the run sheet? First home derby win. Fabio Gomez. How do
Where
I?
did he come from? What happened?
12 goals now in all comps. What did Jules say
Jules, that
earlier in the season?
15, 15.
He's on track, two games to go.
And with finals,
And with
is he
finals
counting
as well.
finals?
Jules will try and justify what he said earlier on. He will take what he can get. Is he, how do I put it? Is he a fraud? Is that too hard a word to say? Or is he, am I not seeing something? Is he better than, I feel like it's a two camps. Either love him or, you're probably happy to see him on the plane back to Brazil.
I don't know. I think it is weird. I wonder if maybe he's kind of been given a wake up call and been like, if you want to get minutes in Brazil, when you go back home, you have to actually play well here and actually start scoring. But he shows up in the derby. The two derbies that we've seen him play, I think he's been good. That goal he scored against Newcastle, I think a lot of it was him, his passing with Caceres as well. That build up was awesome, but I don't know. I think the from where he started to where he is now is like two completely different players. So I don't know if it's the Tele Ban ball or if it's just like he something has just worked for him. But either way, if he keeps scoring, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think with Fabio, he's a frustrating player. Like I him a fan, but also when he if he leaves the end of the season, I wouldn't be too fussed. I think he's a bit of a big game player. In fact, I would definitely say big game Gomez. I think his strength is when he actually doesn't think about it. I think early on the season, particularly mid-season, he was thinking way too much about the chances he was given. I think it was that game in Adelaide at the SFS where each time he got the chance, he was just thinking too much. I think, I wonder if something like Ufie or Zadrillo said to him, look, take it back to the bare basics, bare minimum, just try and get into the right position, which he did on Saturday quite a lot. Like, I was quite impressed by his ability to get into the right positions because we've had a lot of players play striker in the last year or two who've never been there for the tap-ins. Like, there's been so many times, even this season, I'm like, where is the player for the tap-in after a parried shot? And there he is. He's very raw, but I think that's kind of a strength or something that Ufie can utilize if he does stay on. He's 26, like he's got a, I wouldn't say a high ceiling, but he's definitely got a lot of room to improve. And he does seem to me to be an A-League standard player. Is he better than A-League standard? Not sure, but he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he can be very hot and cold. His match fitness has improved out of sight, and the SA will come naturally as the season goes on. But in terms of Tale coming on, and we're really having that high press, that high intensity, high line there. Yeah, like you said, Michelle, if he goes at the end of the season, thank you very much for your service. If he stays, maybe another year under his belt and the pre-season, whatnot, better adjusted to A-League football and Australian conditions and whatnot. We might see something from him, but at the start of the season, out of the two Brazilians, I was like, I'll keep Gabriel and Gomez can jump on the plane. But now I'm maybe leaning towards I'd prefer to keep Fabio if I had to pick between the two than Gabriel. Moving on, Redders will now become will soon become the outright third of on the all-time appearance list this weekend against MacArthur. So if you're heading down there, Jamie, I'm assuming you are. Is it
Definitely.
definitely yes?
Short journey. Why not?
Yeah. Take your passports, head down to Campbelltown to kind of tip your hat at Redders becoming the outright third. And I saw this through the week as well, and I guess now this is a really good time to be able to do this now that they've not been knocked out. Rachel Lowe, her little veiled swipe at Sydney FC. This is the most talented group of players I've ever been with, but you lost. Your old mate used to hang out on the Corso there at Manly, getting Messina or whatever it is that you guys do up at Manly. Michelle,
I do love Messina.
any parting words for Rachel the Snake Lowe?
You got what you deserve. And I wish you cried a little bit more on the coverage. That would have been nice.
I don't always agree. I often don't. I think I called him a cunt the other week. But T.O., what's his face? He did do a tweet yesterday or the day before, and I did have to agree. I resisted from pressing like. But they've got nine cap Matildas. They're a team that could have should have done better. And he said something to the effects of that it's a bit of like a transit lounge of sorts for people, just players kind of. Maybe they just think, oh, I rock up to Melbourne Victory. I've got all these on paper, talented team, but yet nothing comes of it. So, goes to show, when players buy in, like our girls have, and yes, we have talented players. We've got some Matildas and the like in there, or young Matildas. It's not about who you have, but how well they work together. So, fuck off, Rachel Lowe, and enjoy
Eat
the
shit.
cold. Eat shit and,
Eat shit. Yeah,
yeah.
I was sick of that stuff. I also, in a small pond like the Dub, it's not too long before she'll be back playing with some of these players. She said, we're not in the best group of players she's ever been with. It's like you're kind of shitting where you eat, I think, by making comments like that. I
Yeah.
think that works a lot better in the European League to make those sort of comments. But in Australia, small pond, there's what, 12 teams you can possibly play for. It's not really worth saying, I don't think. And also eat shit.
I think teams should be judged by how many trophies they've got, and clearly we've got a lot more in our cabinet than they do. And maybe, you should watch what you say, Rachel, and wait to actually win something with them before you do. But anyway, eat shit and enjoy the long off season. All right, let's jump ahead to what was 26,000 plus people witnessed on Saturday night. Had a lovely evening there at Allianz Stadium. Our first derby win at Allianz, a 2-1 win against the scum. I think 2-1 maybe flattered them a little bit. I'm not saying we should have necessarily put in a cricket score. Maybe we should have held them to a clean sheet. Maybe had another goal in there. But it was a bit of a game of two halves. Jamie, what do you make of the first half?
It's a bit how's it going? It wasn't the best football we've played. I thought we looked really like vulnerable pretty much every time they had the ball and started to play it long, which is not too dissimilar to most of this season. I think first half we just kind of looked like we weren't really sure how we were going to break them down. We got sort of camped outside their box and just could not find the incisive pass. And I think most of the good stuff came back because we forced an error, which is again typical for this season. I think the Rhino goal before halftime, disallowed goal, probably did a lot to rev the team back up. Because before that, they just looked completely out of ideas of how to break down this side. Probably lucky not to go in at least a goal down. Like Antonsen should have at least gotten one of those two chances he had. It's astonishing to me that he missed both of them. He's a player with high pedigree who we're meant to believe is this sort of, big deal marquee striker, and he doesn't look like he's right for this level, which is good for us. But we were definitely let off the hook there. I think Lacerda in particular has probably showing why he's not the best centre back we have in that first half. He looked quite lost every time they played the ball over the top. Matthews, though, very good.
Class, yeah. It's insane that just the kind of meteoric rise he's had in such a short frame of time. And yes, it's social media and journalism, but talk about Socceroos and whatnot, and maybe this guy could be one of the future, maybe step into the shoes of Harry Suter in years to come, or maybe playing alongside him, who knows. But I thought Uffie would have started with Rodwell personally. I think I as the season's worn on, I just don't see Gabriel as a starting centre back. Certainly, when if you've got Rodwell on the bench, and if we had, of course, had Jake. But yeah, I thought he should have gone with Rodwell, and then maybe use Gabriel to close out the game if and when something happened, or if they're on yellow cards or something like that. But nonetheless, the rest of the play started as expected. Yeah, we dominate. The first half was quite even. We had a lot more field position, a lot more possession, but we just couldn't find that kind of killer pass to turn all that possession and field position into a chance or a shot on goal, trying to get us a bit more in the counter. My heart was in my throat with hitting the post on a couple of occasions. But look, in games, you take your chances. What few get presented to you, and we did that on the night more often than they did. So, Michelle, you guys nervous there in the Cove in that first half?
I mean, I think that the atmosphere was so high that it wasn't like nerves of, for me personally, it wasn't nerves of when are we going to concede? It was like, when are we going to score? Because I knew it was coming. I don't know how to tell you guys this, but I'm very superstitious. I just know these things. I just get this like feeling. I'm like, I know we're going to win. The whole day, I was like, we're going to win. We're going to win. But like, yeah, I think the Cove was just in very high spirits that first half. So it was like, it didn't really feel like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Like, we weren't really paying attention to the game. It was like, let's pay attention to ourselves and like make this as loud as possible, if that makes sense.
Perfect sense. Speaking of the Cove, a little bit of a tangent into It was a really great TIFO. I really appreciate it. How do I, it didn't quite go understandably though in the context of what literally happened or what was happening, just a few suburbs away in Bondi Junction, which was absolutely horrendous. And so the game kind of started off, or did start off, with a 1 minute silence. So, which, understandably, interrupted the kind of the procedure of putting the TIFO up and whatnot. But we saw today, Michelle, that there was, it's getting sometimes these administrations and organizations make it far too hard for us just to enjoy football. And I just, I'll get you to speak to that, the statement that Co put out. But we're different to rugby league. We're different to union. We're different to AFL and stuff, and how we go about supporting our teams, or our team, our club. And I just don't think that's really understood or appreciated by, those in suits and ties and the like sitting around boardroom tables. So, if you want to, just before we get into further nitty-gritty of the game, Michelle, just want to talk about the Cove statement and concerning the TIFO.
Yeah, obviously, the boys did a great job creating that TIFO, and they work so hard on designing, on getting the materials, on producing it, like, painting it, sewing, all that sort of stuff. We don't ever print TIFOs. Like, these are handmade in Adelaide. But, these. It takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication and a lot of time to create these. And I think the statement reads pretty well. It basically, like you mentioned, there's a lot of people higher up in suits that clearly just are trying to kill the atmosphere, and I don't want to put blame on any other supporter group, but it feels, especially for this derby, it felt like we were the ones being punished for something that we haven't done, for something that we never did and never have done, So why are we now being punished? And especially when it comes to things like certain phrasing of words have to be removed because, oh, it doesn't read well for the other team. We had so many issues when it came to that first derby, with the jerseys burning against Ninkovich. They had so many issues on, producing that, and it had to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's like, well, do you want this to continue? Do you want the TIFOs? Because at the moment, the Cove has been the only consistent group to make TIFO. The Wanderers, they were, I'm pretty sure the RBB was banned from doing it for a while, and then now they've gotten their, I guess they're allowed to do them now. But then you look at like what Adelaide's done, and like, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I mean, that's a sponsored banner that was printed, and it's like, and people are praising that, and it's like, yeah, that's all well and good, but like, have you seen the stuff that we've done? Like,
The authenticity
so
of it too, yeah.
yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it is sad that the Cove is saying we will not make TIFO until further notice, and that is sad because the game needs it. The game thrives on it. And we've seen time and time again, when we were under Football Australia, how if you just, if you keep cutting the fans out, then you're not going to have a game. It's going to be like COVID all over again, and you're going to be playing in empty stadiums. And like, I know it feels like a really big reaction to, being told that you can't use the message banner, but like, that message banner, had it been worded the way they originally wanted it to, would not be any issue with what happened in Bondi. So yeah, they seem to contradict themselves. They seem to just not want us to do anything, or, and by us, I mean fans, all active supporter groups. So yeah, and obviously the Cove has had a very good relationship with the club for a long time, and I don't want to be the one speaking on behalf of the Cove. on a lot of things. So I'm just talking very generally here. But like smaller stuff like this isn't even small, this is quite large, but like things like this, it's gonna ruin the relationship until the APL actually decides to say, okay, like let these people do what needs to be done. Look at Europe, look at the way they do TIFOs over there. Like it's an
Like
unreal.
beautiful theater, yeah.
Yeah. And like we would never be able to do a whole stadium sort of TIFO because it just wouldn't be allowed. So yeah, like I don't know what to say. It's very frustrating, very sad. But you know, these sorts of things need to happen so that we can get answers and so that we can actually move on and then start making TFL again.
I think also the APL, the FA, they're all terrified of something going wrong. Like when I read about these sort of concerns about the banner to do with Bondi thing, I just see an organization was so terrified by the fact that they're constantly losing the PR war in mainstream media that they're so scared of anything going wrong, they don't do anything. Like this is sort of the APL,
Yeah,
my
but
opinion on it, which is
the
they're
APL,
scared.
but they're giving out the information of the TIFOs. They're leaking the TIFO to the RBB.
Yeah,
So
so
they're writing their own negative PR stories.
the thing is they know they can get away with something like that because no one covers it. Like, if this sport was where it was maybe 5, 10 years ago, that probably would have been, I think, a major story. But the APL know that they can sort of do this stuff because no one's going to hold them to account. And yet, people who do don't have a voice loud enough. Like, you look at the way they spoke about the police situation at the last couple of, what, 3 months or so. They're terrified of putting anyone offside, and it really shows. And they're constantly doing this. You look at how the NRL, the AFL, they all know how to deal with police. They know how to get their point across in public. It's very frustrating just to watch them consistently fail to show up to these things. Like the
Yeah.
banners, the TIFOs, I'm not in the cove. But I love them. I think they look great. They always seem to attract people overseas. Every time I've brought someone to a Sydney game who's, lived overseas or a football fan overseas, they love the code. They love the TIFOs, love the banners because it's not really what Australians associate with football because they watch mostly English football. They're not used to this idea of, oh, people are so passionate they're making banners and TIFOs. And that's how we should be keeping people here. Like it's ridiculous to me that it keeps coming to this. We're losing so much ground each season. It alienates everyone. Like I could not tell you the last time I took someone to a Sydney game, who didn't have some sort of comment like, "Oh, the crowd isn't great," or something like that. And this is why.
I also think, and I'll just say this really quickly, like when it comes to this sort of stuff, you know, I worry how then this will affect the women's game because the women's game is obviously, you know, supposed to be family friendly atmosphere, no swearing, as I've, you know, been told numerous times, you know, all that sort of stuff. And like, if you can't let football fans be football fans, then that game is not going to have any football fans left, and it's going to be children, mums, you know, boring and silent. At the moment, Sydney FC atmosphere in the A-League Women's is probably the best because we're the only, like, I think Brisbane does still have their group as well, and they usually make quite a bit of noise, but there is no one that compares to what the noise that we make. And, you know, the longer we kind of keep feeling alienated and told off because of the way that we are, then why would I go to the games and make noise? Why would I feel like I'm part of something? Because the girls love it. They absolutely love it. They tell me all the time. But, you know, how am I supposed to keep going when our own fans are antagonizing us? And trying to sing their Let's Go Sydney, Let's Go louder than joining in on any of the basic chants that we have. So, yeah, very frustrating from top to bottom, men and women. But yeah, I'm fully on board with what the Cove is doing at the moment.
Well, keep fighting the good fight, Michelle, and then the rest of the Cove and active support. It's a beautiful, wonderful point of difference, and something, compared to all the other sporting codes, it's incredibly unique. The theatre, the drama of it all, and all I can say is just, stick to your principles and let's see more of it. Back to the game though, specifically, probably were a little bit lucky-ish to not go one behind at half time, despite having the lion's share of possession and field position. But second half came, there was a goal in the game. Somebody was going to flinch first. I felt, despite my sky blue colored glasses, that we would strike first. And thank God, the likes of Joe Lolly, he just works his fucking ass off over and over and over. And look, the defenders know he's going to more often than not cut in on his left foot and take a shot when he sees a slither of goal like he did. And look, Fabio's goal was a tap in. All three of us probably would have scored that, but he's paid to be there. He still had that awareness to be in and around that 6 yard box in case he probably knows Joe's going to try and pull the trigger here. He's going to fire it at the goal. I'll be somewhere and hopefully be Johnny on the spot and put it away. And I thought that was the goal that was going to win the game.
Absolutely. I thought from the goal, I was like, you know what, this feels really comfortable. And for someone like me who's very pessimistic, I thought, we've got this sorted. Wanderers didn't look very good. They'd used up so many subs because of injuries. I was like, we have to run them off.
Relevant.
Like, we're so much fitter. There's no reason why we can't hold on. I think the real pendulum shift was when Rhino got involved in the scuffle just near the corner. From there, I sort of felt, oh, I don't feel like we're doing great in terms of holding on. And then that same stoppage is when Fabio comes off for Glasson. I was just thinking there, I'm not one to doubt Ulfi because he clearly knows more than me. But I was thinking, I would have kept Fabio on and just throw another defender on. If I was defending a one goal lead, knowing that they'll be pumping the ball into the box a lot, I thought it was a bit odd not to throw on another defender.
With about 10
Especially.
odd minutes to go, yeah.
Yeah, like in sacrificing Gomez, who'd spent a lot of that second half tracking back and really like working his ass off to make himself useful to the team. It was kind of an odd one because he didn't seem to be getting tied to me. But look, I can't really criticize too much because it worked in the end, despite the fact that it shouldn't have happened. They shouldn't have equalized.
Yeah, we'll move ahead to speaking of equalizing. Yeah, you're right, Jamie. That should never have happened. Sapsford had a pretty much to all the time and space to nod that home. Redders could do little to nothing with that. But then you look to Sapsford left, and he had two more players unmarked at the back post. How that happens, I don't know if it was just a matter of, they were in and around our 18-yard box, and maybe one too many players were trying to press and chase the ball a little bit too much. And forgot their assignment with marking. The difference is our coach doesn't throw our players under the bus. But yeah, an ex Sydney FC player, heads in the goal. Nice finish from Zach, but that was really disappointing. And especially at the 95th odd minute, I thought, here we go. I probably could have taken a draw if it maybe happened under different circumstances through the game, but when we were like a bee's dick away from taking the 3 points, that really hurt.
Yeah, I think the key thing there is like Kucharski had that chance like a minute or two before, which he probably should have crossed to Fabio, which would have made it 2-0. And I was sort of thinking at the time, and right after the equaliser, I
Was
was
that when he
banging
made that run
Kucharski.
downfield, near the tunnel?
So he sort of runs from our box pretty much, set up the chance, and then just sort of goes like the lame play shot. I remember I was banging Kucharski for the next minute and a half after the equaliser. Like, I was like, he's really cost us here. And what does he say?
He heard you and said, "I got you, Jamie."
I think we were all feeling that.
Yeah, I thought he could have crossed it over to Gomez a lot earlier. But what do I say? 2 minutes later, if that, Caceres though bolts back downfield, makes that beautiful sweeping sliding tackle, wins the ball, and almost in one motion, like gets back up on his feet. Rhino says, "All right, off you go on your bike." Plays the ball to him, bolts downfield, and then puts this lovely lob cross to the back post. And Jaden, with his left foot, I dare say he is a right-footed player. Not the cleanest of shots, but fuck, man, it went in.
I
Security
think he
guard
hit it
liked
wrong.
it. Security guard liked it.
Oh, all the supporter marshals, all the security guards, they were part of the limbs.
Yeah.
They were trying to stop the limbs, but then they just were like, sack, like, let's join in.
Rats up there and amongst the cove with his
Oh,
bandages around his head,
pinhead.
pinhead looking thing.
Oh.
It was incredible. Chuck that up on the highlights reel, and if anyone's like, "Oh, should I go to an A-League game?" I don't know. Oh, I'm an AC Milan fan, and blah blah blah. Champions League, like just play them the last 5 minutes of the game, and just go like, "This is what you can come watch week in, week out."
Yeah, like that's Steele and Bratton celebrating with the pineapple head in the cove. Like that to me probably end up being the defining image of the season, if not well, his time at Sydney FC. Like it's just an incredible moment. It is incredibly captured. I think the magic of the players, like the subs running from the sideline to jump the fence and join the celebrations, like that, it's just incredible. You don't get that in any other sport in Australia. I think it also doesn't happen too often in Australian football anyway. There's a great atmosphere, I think, at the moment at the club, and I don't think you'd see that same level of, I guess, celebration in a Melbourne derby. Call me insane, because I don't think the tension there is as high as it is in the Sydney derby.
There's not
But
as
I
much
think
hatred.
that's it's basically it'll be the highlight reel for next season, or it should be. In fact, they should be pumping out as much content as they can out of it. I'd be using it to sell to networks and say, "Hey, here's what your product could be associated. Here's what your brand could be associated with on the ad hoardings. Here's what you could be on the jerseys, all that sort of stuff." Because that's impossible to capture. That's impossible to replicate. These matches are very rare. I can count on maybe one hand that late equalizers or winners I've seen. Nothing's quite like it. The gap between Kucharski hitting it and that wait for it to like drop into the net
Oh
is
my
one of those
God.
like amazing feelings. It's just,
Yeah.
oh,
It was just like, yeah, like you said, like just the everyone just stopped singing
held their
and
breath.
just watched it go in. And it was like that moment of like, did he just shank it? Like, is it not gonna drop? And when it did, it was like, I don't know, the most joyous occasion that we probably had in that stadium, in the new stadium, for as long as it's been open. And like that is football. Like, I think Danny McBrain said it on commentary, he's like, "I love the A-League, I love football. This is why we love football." And it's like just the absolute high of, getting that first goal and the low of equalizing.
Drop and then yeah, that like literally a roller coaster
Oh my
in a
God.
matter of
Unreal. And like, obviously we're ecstatic because of it, right? Because we support, Sydney FC. But imagine being those Wanderers fans as well. Like, just the feeling of like, yes, we got one back right at the end. And then the absolute drop of hope, of, happiness, and just the anger that you would feel towards, your team in that moment. Because we've been there. Absolutely. We've all been there. Watching your team just not deliver when they're supposed to. But like, I don't know. I think for a lot of new fans, a lot of those new like boys in the cove, things like that, like this is gonna be their moment of like, what's your favorite game that you've ever been to? And for a lot of people, that's gonna be the game that they'll say. And I think that's awesome.
Well,
yeah.
Jamie, go,
Like,
man.
Yeah, so something I was thinking about, and I think it really deserves praise, is the mentality of the Blues to sort of cop that goal really late and not just sort of switch off or say, oh, we might settle for a point. They really went for it. Like they knew they'd probably one chance. They kept the ball from kickoff all the way to sort of get to that point. It was just the mentality there, I think, is something that we haven't seen in maybe a while. I think even 3 months ago, had they considered that goal, they just would have stopped. So I think clearly the belief and the mentality of the sides improved so much. And the fact that you could throw on Glasson, despite my reservations, even Glasson was there to make sure the ball went in. Like you can see him making the run to make sure that he can maybe try and get a tap in. And they're all going free for all to jump over the fence. Like you can see what it means to the players, which it's kind of like one of the greatest joys. Like as a supporter, we all love it when they score. We love it when we beat the Wanderers. But having that moment where it seems like the players love it as much as we do, it's kind of incredible. It's also, again, what you don't get if you're following like a Premier League team is most of the players aren't from the local area. They're probably not supporters of that club they're playing for. So they don't get the exact joy that we get as supporters. Like JK Kucharski, him doing it, you know, the former Cove boys, a Sydney FC supporter. It's just incredible. Like it's a fairy tale, really. It's rare, and I just really hope that the side can sort of kick on from this.
I
Well,
think,
fine.
All right, yes, Michelle.
oh, just one thing when you were saying that, oh no, I lost it. But yeah, Luke Bratton. Yeah, I just think to see Bratz the way that he was when we lost 4-0, to see him now jump into the Cove and dragging boys up so that they're all jumping on top of these Cove boys, you know, and like I feel for me, I know I've been pretty harsh on him in the last couple of years. Or the last season, like this season, you know, he wasn't in his best form. He didn't look happy. He didn't look like he wanted to be at the club. But like the turnaround that he's had is awesome. Like he looks like he loves the Cove. He looks like you know he wants to be there. And like that for me, that means a lot because I want the players to want to be there, you know, I want them to play for the badge. And all of those boys played for the badge in that game. And like you said, you know, the mentality that they had to push through to then win the game in the last minute, is absolutely unreal. And that's a game for me that I will probably watch back a lot.
Finals secured. They would definitely be happening for us. Just a matter of where we'll finish now with two games to go. I don't think we can finish any higher than third. Tell me if I'm wrong, Jamie. But what I loved about last Saturday night was winning with City with their thumping 8-0 win. It's putting Wanderers on the cusp of potentially missing out on finals, with City breathing down their neck. With two games to go. So a lot of joy would be brought to my face with seeing the Wanderers not make the six. Yeah, anyway, I digress. Anyway, SFCU votes. Michelle, Jamie, distribute 6 points accordingly.
Accordingly. F1.
Like I could easily just go. I thought everyone played really well. Like for maybe out of the starting 11, probably the least good was probably Lacerda. I think he got found out a little bit in the first half. But I thought Holman and Bratz and AC in the middle were great. I thought Maxi with his stint. I wish I he might have could have should have stayed on a little bit longer. But anyway, it all worked out well. I thought he was great. Fabio did a job up front. Lolly was just always immense. I thought Rhino and King were very good. So for me, but I can't go past how good. I think he was the unsung hero of the night. I know JK's getting a lot of the pats on the back, and understandably so. But Anthony Caceres, always said that he should be caught up for the Socceroos. So three for Anthony, two for Lolly, and probably one for Bratz.
I was going to go 3-4 Caceres as well. Two for Lolly. And then I'll go one for. I'm going to give one to Jaden just because he has cemented himself into Sydney FC folklore.
Think I'm going to go for three for Bratton because I thought that was his best performance this season. He won pretty much every tackle. He really commanded the midfield. Two for Cass. He was really impressive. He really come into his own this season. And I'll go one for Hayden Matthews. For his early work defensively, it was just superb. He suited the game really well. He was perfect. He really didn't do much wrong. Yeah, he's really good.
All right, well, the boys have their penultimate, is that the word I'm thinking of? Second from last game of the season up against MacArthur down the, I don't know, is it the M5 or M4, whatever we're going, down there to Campbelltown in the southwest. Saturday 20th, 7:45 kickoff at Campbelltown Stadium against the Bulls. No Davila, I believe, who will be serving his second game out, which I guess helps us, but not to rest on our laurels, not to get complacent. Jamie, how do we see this game going? Are we going to just continue on that momentum? Could this be like a semi-final preview, maybe a grand final preview against us and MacArthur?
I think, judging by how we usually go after the big win, like when we beat Wanderers last, which is like a big high, we had probably a bit of a lull the next week. Probably not helped by the fact Jake Gerber-Wright got sent off in that match against Brisbane. I reckon we'll continue with the away side winning the matches in this fixture because that's apparently the only way it goes. I think we'll probably be found out again when it comes to balls over the top on the break because MacArthur definitely are players who can play that style. I think the biggest question would be if Valerie German is on form. He's very good, and I'm not 100% certain that the current centre back duo is the best equipped to deal with him. I think we should be winning this. There's no reason why not. We nearly beat them with 10 men, or at very least put up a decent shout with 10 men earlier in the season. We've only gotten better. I think they've probably fallen off a bit, so.
Yeah, they're
I'd
definitely
predict a win.
not. Yeah. Shell.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say because it was such a intense game. And I think as long as they kind of, recover well, mentally and physically, then I think we'll be fine. Our record at Campbelltown is pretty good. So, yeah, I think I'm pretty confident in the boys coming into this game.
The Mac attack is back.
Hell yeah.
Do you put him back up front, or do you say keep the same starting 11? Max, I think he did fantastic up front. And then maybe use Mac to come on, 20 odd minutes, whatever it might be, from full time. So, Jamie, you've got the clipboard. You starting Mac, or you're just going, all right, same 11. You did the job. Trained well during the week, I assume. Off you go.
I think he'd probably keep the same 11 just for consistency. Ulfi seems to be sort of keeping the same 11 as much as he can. I think one change might actually be Kucharski in for Burgess. It seems like Ulfi likes reward players if they make a good impact off the bench. I think also if you start Kucharski, it means you'll have two options to replace him on the bench in Burgess and Mac. I wouldn't throw Mac back in yet just because he's good. He's very good. But the side did pretty well without him last week. I don't feel like it'd be a huge loss for this one.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't feel like we missed Mac. What do you do with Mac? Michelle, do you start him or do you just go, all right, same 11, off you go?
Hard to say. I think it depends on the one, how the players pulled up after the game. And if there's like any loading issues, then I imagine he's gonna start him. But yeah, I don't see why you would when everyone kind of played really well. I think that was one of our like best games that we've had. So yeah, I think he's probably going to be sitting on the bench for a little bit.
The only change that I would definitely make would be to start Jack Rodwell.
Yeah, if Rodwell's fit, definitely.
Rodwell's fit and well, I would start Jack at centre back with Hayden.
Has Rodwell fallen out though? Is that because I would have thought he would start against Wanderers as well. Is Ulfi just in a position now where he's saying, well, look, You usually don't make it past 60 minutes. I'll put Lacerda on because he always seems to last 90. Is that part of the thinking, do you reckon?
Yeah, he might have a bit more staying power, Gabriel, for a whole game. This is interesting because you had Jack on the bench, didn't you, on the week? Was Rodwell on the bench on the weekend?
Yeah, he was.
And you had Gerd. So you had like two. I know Jack, on the rare occasion when he's come on or been on, has played some small little cameos at centre mid. But yeah, it was odd having two centre backs on the bench. Anyway, but I digress. Score predictions, Michelle and Jamie.
I'm gonna go 2-0, Sydney.
2-1, Sydney.
I'm going to say 3-1 Sydney. I think we're going to have a few goals in us. All right. 24 hours odd later, the girls will be up at Central Coast, up at, what is it called? Industry Superbar.
Industry group.
That's the one.
Stupid name.
playing Central Coast in the first of two games against Emily Husband's anti-football disestablishmentarianism team. Michelle, take it away.
Oh, well, it is very important to get the win. I don't believe there are any away goals, so it doesn't really that doesn't matter, like doesn't count, which is probably a good thing. Casey Dumont scored a penalty and saved two for the Mariners to go through into the semi-final.
Pretty meager
Now,
chance. They weren't,
doesn't matter. Save's a save. And that Melbourne Victory side should be winning the double. So unlucky, Rachel Lowe. Anyways, Casey Dumont is going to be basically, we do not want to be going to penalties. So we need to score early. That's going to be the big thing for us. As long as we get the early goal, I think they can relax and they'll play the football that they like to play. They need to make sure that they're not letting the nerves get to them. That's the biggest thing. I felt, for me, it felt like they had a lot of pressure on them at that Melbourne Victory game, the last game. And I think as long
If
as we
not the
don't,
Canberra game midweek, yeah, I
yeah, as long as.
set more records to do what they did under very different and tough circumstances this season. So many players have changed and young girls in, but you're saying the early goal.
Yeah, I think it'll settle them, settle the nerves, as long as we get the early goal. I think the hard part is like, what do we do now? Like, there's no Kirsty Fenton, obviously. There's still no Nat Tobin, and there's no Maddie Caspers. So we're basically running on fumes at this point.
You reckon Maddie, they said a month, it's been
Now, I
basically.
was told more than a month.
She'll be right. She's young. I played two games on a weekend, all age. She'll be right back in my day. So you reckon no Maddie?
No Maddie, from what I've heard, no Maddie. And obviously no Fiona Wirtz either. So we're missing quite a few. But we have been missing quite a few all year. So this isn't anything new. I think if Abby Lemon has been spending these 2 weeks training as a left back properly, then I think we will be okay. Tori Trumuth is solid, and obviously we know that
Jordan.
Charlotte and Jordan. Oh my God, I had
All right, I got your back.
Charlotte and Jordan.
She's abroad. She doesn't really know who they are.
That expels me. We know that they're so solid at the back, and I think Margot Chauvet as well has been unreal. This, has stepped up a lot with all these injuries. So, yeah, I think, and also shout out to Tori Trumuth and Margot Chauvet for coming into the Cove. That was awesome. That was so funny, during the derby. But yeah, I think on paper we're a side that should win, but we need to actually prove that as well. The last time we played the Mariners was, I believe, the 2-1 loss on a Wednesday night in the pouring rain.
Yeah, with a
But
stupid ref decision.
I was going to say, I don't believe that was necessarily because of how we played. I think it was some not very good refereeing and some of this anti-football that we spoke about earlier.
He is English, the coach.
So, yeah. So, yeah, as long as we don't play into their mind games, and because even watching the game against Mel Victory, all they did was just hack at the players. They just hack at Alex Chudiak. And they probably should have Paige Hayward, I believe it is. No, is it? Yeah, I think so. I think she should have got sent off as well. She should have got a second yellow. So, yeah, as long as we don't play into their little tricks, I think we'll be fine.
Play our game.
Yes.
Tempo. Jamie?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is getting players like Prinny Ebene probably step up a bit more. I think she's not had her best season. I really feel like she needs a big match to sort of rev her back up. I think this is sort of the right time to do it. I do fear that Mariners just might have our number this season for whatever reason. We've been quite underwhelming in the two matches against them, and also unlucky with the shocking refereeing call for the penalty in the 2-1. I think a lot of it for there will be how much have they reset from the Victory match, how much have they sort of looked at what went wrong, and how much of that loss really was the mental side. I like to think Ante probably has got them sort of refreshed to not think about that. I think also now that they know who's missing and they've had time to sort of work with the players who are out, they probably have a better idea of how to set up. Like the Lemon starting against Victory out of position probably wasn't the best idea. A lot of players were not playing their best positions. And I think the lack of depth we had available to that stage hurt them a lot. I mean, they lost a couple, they lost a player midweek before the Victory match, which clearly didn't help. But as for like finals football, they've got the experience. They should know what to do. I think it'll be about, are we actually going to start scoring goals frequently again? Are we able to get multiple players to score a goal on a mat? I think Victory, it was a case of they missed a chance early, missed a couple of chances early, and it shot their confidence. So I definitely agree that an early goal would do wonders. The fact it's two-legged is also interesting because it means if they are dreadful in the first one, it will play into Mariners to do more anti-football stuff, as Michelle lovingly calls it, for the second leg. But
Jono actually coined the phrase.
Yeah.
Did he steal that from Nick?
I think that they're not that good. But they've been kind of lucky that a lot of the matches they've won have basically just been because the other side hasn't converted enough chances or didn't convert well enough. Statistically, that can't really keep up, you'd imagine. I just don't think they're that good. We've got a team who, even with injuries, should be beating them comfortably. They've got a couple of players who are clearly quite good. And Dumont seems to like performing against us, but we should finally have the strength to see them off. 2 week break, wherever it was, is a huge boon. Vine being away with Matilda has probably helped refresh her. There's no reason why we can't show up for this one.
Yeah, I think I'm quietly confident just the class of our players individually as collect and as collectively as a team will shine through. But they're an odd side, Central Coast. You quite don't know what you're going to get with them if they get into your heads. And I think that's what probably Emily, her husband, has been doing, is that she probably hasn't had a whole lot of time to work on them tactically and technically as footballers. But she's brought a good attitude towards them, and they could be a thorn in our side. But I'll be interested to see what Ante does with Abby Lemon and Margot. Does he start Margot at the back, or does he start Abby? Does Abby come on as that impact player like we sort of seen her for most of the season, or does Margot start in the middle? So thoughts on who our starting 11 is, like who we obviously know the three out of the four, including Jada at the back, but who do you start at left back, Jamie and Michelle?
I'll probably stick with Abby Lemon. I don't think Margot plays in that sort of role, so I don't think it's wise to put her in that position for a finals game. If it was like Jordan Thompson that was out and you need to put Margot in as centre back, I think that would probably make more sense. So I think, yeah, Abby Lemon will probably play as the left back, in my opinion.
I think what they might end up doing is moving Tori Tumuth out to whichever side she can get in someone's face the most. if that makes sense, because she's quite combative. And I think that probably what they missed a bit against Victory is allowing her to sort of rev up a bit. I think also if you put her in front of someone like Kaia Simon or many of their frontline players, she could probably get in their face enough and at least put a tackle in early to make them know that they mean business. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of swapping of left back and right back there. I agree that Michelle, like, I don't really think there's much point putting Margot Chavez there. It just doesn't really feel like the best use of her when we don't have many midfielders left. If Indy Dos Santos is back, then that's another option, both up front and in midfield. She's played pretty well this season. I think she might be carrying an injury or a knock. I'm not 100% certain.
What about the midfield? Obviously, Maka, the Hawk there with Shay and Margot.
Margot or Taylor Ray.
And then a
Yeah, I think so. I think Taylor Ray's pretty good value. I seem to recall her playing fairly well against Mariners last time. Although that was so long ago, I could be completely mistaken. I think having a player on the bench who can bring on to mix things up would be pretty big for us. I think we missed Dos Santos on the bench against Victory because we didn't really have a player to change the midfield structure at all, or someone who could sort of slot in other places. The other one will be if Shay Connors starts or Abeni starts or how they're going to work out that front line. Like, I think
Abeni will start.
Abeni,
Yeah, you're
yeah,
like
I think Abeni should
Princess
number
Court and
nine.
Kaylee.
I don't think she's been good enough to.
Kaylee, she's been great.
Oh, no, she's been great, but I don't think she's good enough to start in a finals match. I think I'd prefer her to be coming on like later on in the match. I think against Wanderers when she made her debut, it helped a lot that they were firing a lot and they suddenly had this really pacey young forward take the ball and sort of run with it.
Nice. Yeah.
And
But
she's been lasting 45 minutes for the last few matches. I'm not sure what I think it would be there for the second leg if it went to extra time.
yeah, I'd probably start Shay up front just with her. I should look, in all due respects to Kaylee, Shay's got more quality about her. An older head, been there, done that with those kind of games. And then maybe Kaylee to come on if we're looking for a goal to try and get ahead or equalise tied legs at the back end of the second half. So, yeah, I tend to agree with you there, Jamie. All right. Can we get some score predictions, you two? A couple of Gen Zers.
I am not Gen Z, please.
Aren't you?
No.
Oh, that's younger than millennials, right? Yes,
Yeah.
technically I'm a millennial, but I don't feel like that. I'm a baby boomer.
I
score prediction. Michelle
I'm
Morris TV.
abstaining because I don't want to jinx it.
Oh, okay. I'll
I don't
accept.
believe in abstaining, so I'm going to go for a tight 1-1 draw, where we score first and then cop a goal around 60 or 70 minutes.
I'm going to say the girls will take a 1-0 lead into the second leg. Yeah, but it's going to be a very cagey affair. All right. Last but not least, just a little bit of an update on the NPL lads. They had a, I dare say, a disappointing draw against Sutherland Sharks last week. I think it was, yeah, down at Seymour. Again, they probably could have should have won, sitting on a very similar ladder position with Sutherland, but they take on David Carney's Wollongong Wolves away in Wollongong at 3 o'clock. Both teams are travelling more or less the same with a win, a draw, and a few losses in the last half a dozen games. So if you want to get another fix of football, go watch the lads there on 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon down at Wynn Stadium. Do they still call it Wynn?
Yes.
Does Channel 9, Channel Wynn still exist? All right. Nonetheless, I think that's about it. I was going to try and do who's that Sydney FC player for Jamie, but I was going through SFC stats with the whole list of players, and I'm just like, he's too good. You would work out every single one of them.
I
So.
disagree. It's been a long couple of months for me. I don't think I can remember any players that played for us last season.
And then I came across one, and I'm like, oh no, that's too obvious with the particular clubs this gentleman played for. I think it would be too much of a giveaway. Or maybe I should do it just for the fans at home, but I think I'd like to come up with a better one. All right, because
Disappointed in you, Sean. I expect a lot better.
If I said Ulsan Hyundai Horang, and then I
Ooh.
said Busan I Park or L Park?
I'm gonna go for something like.
Hang on, hold there. I'll read out the last half a dozen teams. Jeju United. And then us. And then Jets. And then, excuse my pronunciation, all our Korean listeners, North and South, Songnam Ilhwa Chunma. And then last but not least, FC Anyang.
Is it the hyena himself, Sung Hwan Byun?
Born 22nd December 1979, retired footballer it is. Well done, Jamie. See, I
One of
knew
my
you'd get it.
favorites.
Yeah, he's
One
classic.
of my first favorite players for Sydney FC. I think it was the second season I started going. Byun was everyone's favorite. He
Yeah.
was he was just great. And the hyena scream doesn't really get old still.
Well, I'll have to get you back on again, Jamie, I'll work with Jonathan behind the scenes for something really, a really obscure player that played like one game or something like that to try and stump you. Or maybe like a tournament of the minds, like the, hard quiz with just Jamie and Jono, with both of yours as Sydney FC as your topic. But look, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on this evening. Michelle, thank you, of course. Michelle, do you want to do another plug for your wonderful efforts there with corporate Foxy Boxing? Sorry, the corporate boxer, what is it is?
Corporate fighter.
Corporate fighter, that's it.
Yeah, my Instagram bio has a link where you can donate. You can donate $20 and you will get a link to the live stream on Fight Night. Yes, I'm raising money for Starlight Foundation. Please donate. Where I'm raising, my goal is $2,000 and we're sitting just under 1,000. So please keep donating. It's going to a good cause. Woohoo.
All right, please give generously. Jamie, any plug for you or Sides of the Harbour?
Let's just say, please read the Nightly, the new publication, so I can stay employed. I promise to do the round ball agenda the best I can in a world of AFL and NRL coverage. And yeah, thanks for having me back on. It's
Much
always a thrill.
appreciated. Thank you everyone for listening. Go out and support the fellas out on Saturday night and the ladies there on Sunday afternoon. Big shout out, big, good luck to the girls that they head up to Central Coast and beat the Wanderers and take away an advantage into the second leg. I've been Sean, that's been Jamie and Michelle. Thank you for listening, and we'll chat to you again next week.